The research vessel Storm sits in the pristine waters of the Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary. The water is so clear, you can just make out the bottom. On deck, divers are prepping their gear for an 80-minute swim. And then? Once in the water, it's roughly a minute until they get to the bottom of this relatively shallow 80-foot sinkhole. Down there, with almost no oxygen and a large amount of sulfate seeping up through the ground, it's a perfect place for microbes to gather in layers along the lake floor. They form one of Earth's strangest organisms, microbial mats.
These microbial mats, we think, are representative of the types of organisms that would have lived billions of years ago.
This is Gregory Dick, a research scientist from the University of Michigan. He says sites like this one are rare.
There are, you know, other good sites for this around the world, but they're often in remote and extreme environments, places like ice-covered lakes in Antarctica, hot springs in certain regions. But this one is right here in our backyard, so this is a really valuable place to study this issue.
Dick says what makes studying the mats so important is that they may be key to understanding the slow increase of oxygen after Earth's great oxidation event.
And at this time, oxygen levels went from essentially zero to about 1 to 10% of current levels. What's really interesting, though, is that they didn't come all the way up to what we currently have for another perhaps 2 billion years. And that's a big question as to why did oxygen stay so low for so long.
These microbial mats could hold the key to Earth's oxidation because they're able to change between two types of photosynthesis. We're most familiar with plant photosynthesis, turning light into oxygen, but these mats can also use light to create elemental sulfur. Dirk De Beer is a scientist from Bremen, Germany. He and others are trying to figure out why the mats switch from producing sulfur to oxygen.
We hope to learn from these mats, these communities down here, what controls actually the oxygenic photosynthesis.
And to that end, De Beer and his team are pulling out the big guns, or more specifically, microsensors.
So I have an instrument that is equipped with microsensors. These are thinner than a hair. They measure oxygen, they can measure sulfite, they can measure pH. We have also light sensors, microsensors for light. And they are moved with very, very small steps inside these mats.
One diver moves the microsensor hub to different parts of the mat, while another takes snapshots of the area. Back on the boat, another scientist will merge those data sets to build a map showing where the different kinds of photosynthesis are happening. That should give them a better idea for why it's happening. After the 80 minutes are up, the divers pop back to the surface and climb on board. What makes all of this so compelling to scientists is that it gets at the question of how the Earth could come to support life. And Gregory Dick of the University of Michigan says it's part of a larger question. How rare are the conditions that allow for life?
What about life on other planets? How common is this process? And what are the processes that lead to a planet with an oxygen-rich atmosphere that can support animal life? So we're understanding our own planet's history and also thinking about how such processes could take place on other planets as well.
So the next time you take a breath, say a quiet thank you to our microbial friends who 2.4 billion years ago helped to make it possible. For Great Lakes Today, I'm Ben Thorpe at WCMU.